To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. So the massacre on this this very popular holiday resort with tourists has sparked fresh debate on what action should be taken to combat Islamic State. Doug Beattie of the Ulster Unionist Party is with us. He was captain in the Royal Irish Regiment. Morning to you, Doug.
Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, John Tipple. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Morning. What should happen now, Doug?
Well, the idea that... you asking me, sorry? Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Okay. I think that the idea that we use military force here is exactly the problem that we're facing at this point. Now, ISIS is clearly a movement, and it's the movement that has created carnage on a beach. My heart goes out to those people, without a doubt, but it must be said that British and American foreign policy has led to this debacle. And we can't just ignore that, because to do so means that we will do more of what has created this situation in the first place. Tony Blair, with a dodgy dossier, took this country to war, and the consequences are still rolling over us now. And the horrors of war are brought home on a beach in Tunisia, but those horrors are suffered by Muslim people and have been since before, but 2003 when George Bush was going to go and try and bomb their way around the world. And as I say, these are the consequences. Now, for people now to say that there's a military answer to this, nonsense. It will create further camps and it will create further carnage. And to drag working class people into a battle that is started by rich and powerful people is not on.
Doug?
Well, I think he has a point to a certain degree. I mean, the UK, the US and the West are not blameless in this in any shape or form. We helped destabilise the region, and that's probably the problem. But the reality is we are where we are now, and this is not going to go away. These people will not be reasoned with. This is only going to get worse. So what the Prime Minister has said is that we need a response, which is a full-spectrum response, which is a political response. It's a response against their ideology of these people. And whether we like it or not, there has to be a military response because we need to dismantle...
Well, who are you fighting, though? Who do you target with that military response?
Well, we target IS.
Well, but the whole point of this is lots of times this is lone wolves. So you can't target them because they're in your community.
It's not a lone wolf, Stephen. This guy might have acted by himself walking along there, but he was facilitated by other people. Other people provided him with the weapons. Other people provided him with the information. Other people provided him with the information. This is not a lone wolf. This is emanating from IS headquarters in Raqqa. And what we have to do is dismantle that headquarters in Raqqa, and that requires military action. Now, I can say, and I have said, we are not blameless here. We helped destabilize the region, but we are where we are now. And we can't just close the borders and say it doesn't affect us. There are 30 families now touched by a massacre in Tunisia. That was going to happen again, and it will happen again, and it will happen until we put a stop to it. And if not us, then the Arabs themselves. Now, recently they agreed a joint
protocol. So you want us to start another war? You want boots on the ground, do you?
No, listen, Stephen, there's already boots on the ground. Let's not be silly here. And we're already bombing these people. We're already in a conflict. What I'm saying is that needs to be slightly more coordinated. Now, I honestly believe that should be taken on by those people in the region themselves. And I was just about to say that they've just agreed a protocol for a joint Arab force. Now, that joint Arab force should be used against IS. And if we can facilitate and help them and train them to be able to be effective against IS, that's what we should be doing. But very much like the African Union did in East Africa, in Somalia, then the Arabs need to do in this region here, because it's spreading. And we're now in North Africa. And if this thing gets to Palestine, we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
John?
Can I say that we clearly are in big trouble, and it's that kind of thinking that's got us into this trouble. Now, of course we have to unravel a whole load of injustice. Of course we do. The bombing of Fallujah, the massacre of Muslim people, were practically a million people died to get rid of Saddam Hussein, a man who incidentally was put into power by the British and the Americans there, who armed him and were quite happy to watch him bomb the Kurdish people. And then we unravel that by using bombs? Really? Now, listen, we have to be a lot more adult than this.
So what would you do, John? How would you take them on?
I would put put a hand of friendship out in the world instead of threatening people with nuclear submarines. And that would be a bit of a start. Now, well, the mess that we've made in the countries that we have invaded, what have we done about building hospitals? What have we done about making war on people's needs? So what have we done about that? I'll tell you what we've done about it. We've looked to see if foreign aid can make a profit. Doing, and we're conning people if we think that we're going to somehow bomb our way out of the horrors on the beach of Tunisia. Really? What, create more horror? This is such schoolboy nonsense that it almost makes me right.
Schoolboy nonsense, Doug Beattie.
Yeah, but do you know what? Well, John's not listening. What I said, and I reiterate that, and everybody knows this, is that we need to look at it politically first. We need to look at it ideologically, because we all know that in the UK, more people have joined ISIS than are serving in the UK armed forces. That means that somewhere along the line, we have disenfranchised the Muslim population in the UK. And I would say that's pretty much throughout the West. So we have to look at that. So I've already stated that there's a number of...
Is this about Muslims, some isolated Muslims being disenfranchised, or is this about ideological lunatics?
Well, it's a bit of both. There is ideological lunatics out there, and we can't say this is all Muslims. And you know, Stephen, and I would never say that. And it most definitely is not all Muslims. But there is a fraction of these people who are ideologically damaged by IS, and they will go out and join them. And that's what I'm saying. There's more in IS from the UK than has joined our armed forces. So we literally have a problem there. So when I said we have to look at this politically and politically look at the region and the issues, certainly in Palestine and Israel, look at the ideological issues, but add all those together, we still need to take some kind of military action to dismantle the headquarters in Raqqa, which this is all emanating from. Now, to turn around and say that we'll just all sit on our hands and say nothing, or put our hands out in friendship and these people will go away, they cannot be reasoned with. These people cannot be reasoned with.
Yeah. See, the trouble with paraphrasing is this. You've got to add it all up together. It's not just a simple sum. Of course not. And I never said it was. A hand of friendship out in the world is something that Britain doesn't do. It sends military personnel with one intent, and that is to bomb people. Not bomb people into democracy. We need to be spending the money to try and rebuild the economies in the countries that we've bombed to pieces. And we need also a fundamental change in the way we rule the world. And of course that isn't going to come from a Conservative government. It didn't even come from a Labour government. Look what Tony Blair did for us. The point is, of course, is that I don't think people necessarily have no role in that. I think we do have a role in it. We need to protest at every
turn. The people who are beheading people and shooting people on beaches, well, reaching out the hand of friendship to them or anybody like them, it's not going to work.
No, actually, let me tell you something. That is the weapon that they have at hand. We use much more sophisticated weapons. We use aerial bombing, we use drones, and we use SAS, highly trained troops. We don't see the films of those things. We only see the films of the consequences. And this is the nature of the prejudice of the media as well. We've really got to get a grip here. And it's, as I say, this is not going to be done by the establishment. The establishment are in bed with the arms manufacturers. The whole process of war is business by other means. This is really is a fundamental question. The world is at war. And we need to do something about that. And it isn't going to be a dance. It isn't going to be a bit of fun. This is going to mean confrontation with the powers. It's going to mean our power in this country. We don't fight a war by bombing people in a foreign land. We fight war by fighting our ruling class. That picture is, it has to be done. Now, I know people don't like that. And I know that people are going to try and rubbish it and paraphrase it. But we actually need a fundamental change. And I'll say the word, we need a revolution. Because unless we do, we're destined for more and more conflagration, more and more death.
Doug Beattie?
No, well, you see, John is focusing purely on military action as a negative. John is talking purely about, let's drop a bomb, let's do some guided missiles into headquarters here. I've served in the military for 33 years. I spent 3 tours in Afghanistan. And let me tell you, for 10% of the fighting you've seen in that country, 90% of the military action was helping to build the capacity of that country. So I stood and I built schools. I stood and I helped build hospitals. I helped bring people fresh water. So for somebody to turn around and say that military action is purely about bombing somebody is absolute nonsense. And for somebody to think that this is a war purely against Muslims and against the West, when I can tell them that I stood shoulder to shoulder with Muslims when I fought in these conflicts, and one of the bravest, noblest men that I've ever known in my life was an Afghan Muslim, really does annoy me. What I'm saying here is there is many, many aspects of this that we need to deal with. And there's no point sitting on our hands thinking that if we just talk to these people, this is going to go away. It is not going to go away. It'll go away when the West do something in consultation with the Arab League so that they take the forefront and we facilitate it by training them.
The soldier, I represent the soldier called Joe Grant, who refused to return to Afghanistan. Now, there's the man with courage. There's the man who started something that may have changed.